Tell me where is sanity? Well, hopefully we'll bring some sanity to this radio program, Nothing But Truth, usually done by Crane Durham. I'm Rick Sanborn, sitting in all week long. We welcome your calls, 969-9797. And toll free, it is 866-9797. My guest this morning for the past hour has been Judah Fried, and we're going to keep him on for another segment. You can stay up with us, can't you, Judah?
You betcha.
All right. And one of the things that he has done in global sense is given you the opportunity now to respond in a way that you thought you've changed the world, something that you've done that eventually makes a difference globally. And we've given away two copies of the book Global Sense to folks who have done so. And I want to take another call before we get to the heavier issues and see whether or not you believe this one qualifies. So let's go to Charlie on the line. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good, Charlie. I need you to speak up a little bit because the connection on my end here in Denver is a little weak.
Okay, I'll try my best.
Thank you so much.
I was just calling. I was listening to you guys, and Crane Durham is aging 100 years listening to you guys talk.
I know. I think it must be a very interesting change of pace for everyone.
Wait. We've got two people talking at once, and I can't understand either one of you. So let's let Charlie justify that phrase.
I said you're sitting Crane back 100 years in his lifetime because you guys are not spreading the truth. Saddam Hussein had 17 things from the United Nations which he didn't obey at all. And I guess there wasn't any mass destruction WDs over there, but they have found them, over 500 of them. It's been reported in the papers and back to the pages. I guess Wilson didn't find any... found out that they didn't buy some, were trying to buy a yellow cake over there.
Charlie, do you remember when George W. Bush told the world that Saddam Hussein had his finger on the button and within 17 minutes or 34 minutes he could hit another country with a weapon of mass destruction? You don't remember that? Do you have selective memory?
No, you guys do. You guys do.
Well, okay. Well, again, that's the beauty of talk radio is having two sides to have discussions, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, as soon as I get off, I'm turning my radio off. I'm going to wait until Crane comes back next week.
And that is your prerogative. That's why we have buttons on the radio.
I'm doing it as we speak.
All right. And you have a good life, Charlie. Let's go to Toby. Hi, Toby. How are you?
All right. Boy, it'd be great to see you replace Crane. Crane is, every night he just stammers through his GOP talking points. He's a crushing bore.
There is nothing but rhetoric in most of the cases coming out. You can call it nothing but truth, but actually it's nothing but rhetoric.
It is. It's the GOP talking points. But here's my change the world thing and also an example of what you get for trying to change the world. St. Louis County owns a piece of property down on Charbonnier called St. Stanislaus Conservation Area. And they leased it to the Missouri Conservation Department, and the Missouri Conservation Department turned it into a conservation area. There was a former tire retreading facility across the road from it in a floodplain. In the flood of 93, the tires floated out of these great big barns down there and floated all over hundreds of acres of property, St. Louis County's property, and they laid there for at least a decade. So about 2 years ago, I began cleaning them up. And I gathered these tractor-trailer tires, pulled them out of the creek, pulled them out of the banks of the river, out of the fields and everything, gathered up 252 of them by myself, appliances, everything else. So when St. Louis County found out that I was down there gathering up these tires, they contacted me. And I was working with the city of Hazelwood, and they were getting rid of some of them for me, and so was the conservation department. But when St. Louis County found out I was doing that, they contacted me and told me that I had to stop. And if I didn't stop, that they would sue me. And any tires that were down there, I was responsible for pulling away. So I told them, absolutely not. I was not going to put up with that, and I was not going to haul their tires away anymore. So you know what they did to me? They told me I was a tree-hugging nut. And then they sent me a pamphlet on anger management, psychological paper, one of those upcoming seminars on anger management. And I was supposed to go do that.
Wow.
I cleaned up their property.
Yeah, I understand the situation.
And that's St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. That is St. Louis County's property. Would they let me have those tires all over my property?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well,
I tried to make a difference.
Yeah.
They slapped me around for it.
But again, you're not going to let that stand in your way of when you see something that needs writing, you're going to continue to do that.
Right. Okay. Despite scum like that, despite scum like that that's being paid by me, I am paying their bills. And boy, do they ever get furious when you tell them that. They think the money they spend is their money. And they have the nerve to insult someone like me that I wasn't even in contact with them. They contacted me as they found out about me through the conservation department in the city of Hazelwood.
Well, I'll tell you what. What we're going to do is we'll reward you with a book for the initial effort.
No, that's all right. No. Save the book for somebody else and save a tree. I know what it's all about. I know. I understand what the man's saying, and I agree with it.
Okay. All right.
So we'll just save a book and give that to somebody else.
Toby.
That's my
story. I hope you at least go to the website and download the free report on ways you can change the world, because you've already got a good head start on doing that.
Yes, you do.
But I wanted to tell my story so people will start standing up and saying, this is enough of these nuts like that run our local government. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the reason that you should actually go to globalsense.info or actually have a copy of the book is because Judah addresses authoritarian figures and, you know, the alpha male and a lot of things that you'd probably relate to and appreciate. But, Toby, I do appreciate the call. I'm going to go. Thank you very much. Let's go to, Spencer is on line four. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I listen to Korean a lot, but usually I'm the voice of opposition. But I listen for basically to understand what the other side is thinking.
That's good.
I listen to you as well, and I don't agree with some of the things you say, though, too. But, I mean, you're not going to agree with everything. You keep wanting to go to the past with Iraq, with George Bush, which, yeah, it needs to be discussed. And a good saying that George Bush should have been told a long time ago is that it's good to stand for something, but be careful of what you fall for. Because there was tainted information. He acted on it. I wouldn't say necessarily he lied. He went on bad information, because the other thing we found out, too, is the information that was being received was not necessarily the best.
Well, what about the Downing Street memo that Judas brought up?
I haven't really gotten into the Downing Street
memo.
Okay,
let's have an explanation. Judah, okay. Can you?
Yes.
Sure. And I have to say again, I'm having a hard time hearing your callers, clearly. I don't know if you can boost the gain a little bit on your end. But essentially, this was leaked from England's equivalent of the White House, which is the offices at number 10 Downing Street. And what these were memos that were prepared in the run-up to the war that was essentially Tony Blair's plan and strategy to cooperate with the Bush plan and strategy to launch war against Iraq. And there was one really telling line in there, for example, that said that Bush was going to quote unquote fix the evidence, and which has generally been widely accepted by those who have studied these documents in depth to essentially mean fabricate evidence.
I can understand that.
And so, again, just go to the web, look up Downing Street memos, it's pretty widely available. Not that hard to come up with. This is typical of the kind of information that's become available that some people may not want to look at because it's uncomfortable to look at.
And it's really not an old subject, as you pointed out, Spencer,
no.
Because we're still mired in Iraq today because of the origination of going in there in the first place with the guise of weapons of mass destruction, which then, of course, became, oh, no, we're really trying to give these people democracy when there weren't weapons of mass destruction found. And the 500 weapons of mass destruction is a stockpile that people have been pointing out that have been found. These are weapons that Saddam Hussein already had that he used on his own people that we already know about. But that's a humanitarian issue. That was not anything that was going to be used because he didn't have the capabilities of delivering them against another country. Weapons of mass destruction would be something that would come onto our shores, and instead of the Twin Towers blowing up, all the entire state of New York would be blown up. That's a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand if that was found, Bush would have a ticker tape parade down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Of course, and don't you know that the White House would be plastering that on every publication? There'd be people on every talk show saying, see,
absolutely,
that hasn't happened.
But the actual main point of the question that I had for you both is, looking at where we are now and deciding, okay, we're there and what do we do now, do you really think that we would be doing, on a global sense mentality, will we be doing the Iraqi people a favor by leaving now in the condition they're in where, let's say, Iran or somebody who makes Saddam Hussein look like a wimp takes over the country and it goes back to the way it was or even worse?
Saddam, see, here's the deal. Iran wants the Shiites to be in power in Iraq. We are supporting the Shiite government that is taken over in this, quote, voting election, new constitution. The Shiites have a thing against the Sunnis and the Ba'athists, and they've always been enemies. And so what Tehran wants to do is they want to have the Shiites do whatever the Americans want them to do up to this point, and then when we withdraw, they'll exact their revenge on the people that they dislike in the first place. They don't have, there's no Middle Eastern country that has a constitution like we have, except for Turkey. But otherwise, the Islamic nations don't deal the same way in the same type of government that we have here in this country. So for us to impose upon them, right, but Spencer, what I'm saying is for us to go in and say, oh, try it this way, it would be like, it would be similar to, and I know this is, again, maybe dumbing down, but you would bring the Islamic theory of coming into this country and saying, okay, instead of having the Senate and the Congress, let's have tribes. We'll have tribes. We'll have the people that are in Connecticut and New England, and you'll be this tribe. And then the people who are in Texas and New Mexico, you'll be this tribe, and you'll be on your own self-rule, and you'll be on yours, and let's just get along. And that doesn't work.
Well, that puts
to add a little bit of historical context to that, if I might.
Sure.
Shortly after Muhammad died, his followers tried to decide who was going to inherit the throne left by the Prophet. And there was one faction that wanted to see his family. And it would be a hereditary succession, which is the thing that Payne was opposing. And his son-in-law, Abu Bakr, was essentially one of the people that looked like he was going to be up for that post. But instead, there was a communal vote of the people, and I've got it backwards. Abu Bakr was the one who was elected by a communal vote. And there was another person named Ali who was married to his Muhammad's daughter Fatima, so it was basically a schism that developed very early on in Islam that you could compare to the schism that happened in Christianity between the Catholics and the Protestants. And whereas there we've seen that played out in Northern Ireland, here it's been played out throughout the Middle East. And it's a fundamental issue over who gets to rule, how is power passed from generation to generation. And it's the part that I think is so curious about it is that in the Sunni tradition, which is the one of the communal vote for whoever's going to be the prophet, if there's going to be a vote there over who's going to be the leader of the religion, why not go ahead and have a vote over who's going to be leading the government?
Makes
There's
sense.
A concept. Is that heresy?
No.
I don't know.
No. Yeah. Judah Fried is the author of Global Sense. He's my guest. Spencer, I'm going to have to run because all the lines are busy and other people are trying to get through too, but I appreciate your call.
One last thing out, though. On your side, though, I can understand where you're coming from because from what the both of you said is the fact that if we do stay there, we're going to be longer there than we were in Berlin because we're going to have to continually prop up that country.
Thanks for the comments. I appreciate it, Spencer. It's 969-9797, 866-455-9797. It's Nothing But Truth. That's the name of the program, and it is my truth. I'm Rick Sanborn. We'll continue with Judah Fried. We got Bill and Ed and Rico and Andy. We have one line open. If you want to get through, call now.
More truth next.